404-726-0929. Wasting no time. I have no time to waste. It's Chris Thomas Turtle. It's the Falcons flyover. Ah! Come on! How many times, how many ways can they take our collective hearts and our collective souls and stomp on them with the fury of Godzilla and King Kong put together? It's unbelievable. Ah! I'm going crazy, Atlanta. I'm going absolutely buck wild crazy right now. But let's get some ground rules started for today. As always, I accept full blame game calls. Because everybody, when your team loses a game, whether it's a blowout to the Dolphins or absolute gut-wrenching heartbreak, as it was the last 2 weeks against New England and against the Colts in Germany, everybody is to blame. Coaching, players, staff, management, ownership, everybody gets blame. But I have an issue with one thing I'm seeing right now that is taking over the conversation, in my opinion, an unfair way. Guys, if you want to call in and tell me Michael Penix Jr. was nowhere near good enough in this game, you can absolutely do that. And I will not, by any stretch of the imagination, shout you off the radio. Completing 12 passes in an NFL game is abhorrent. It's unacceptable. Having another game where you look lost, intentional grounding on the table again for the second straight week, missed time play calls, receivers not on the same page, Michael Penix Jr. in crunch time, when it mattered most, to quote our friend Carl Dukes, did not step up to the plate. Acknowledged, heard, so shall it be said, so shall it be written, so shall it be done. He was not good. Okay? We all on the same page about that? Because I posted an instant reaction video, and I knew this was going to happen, but I also knew we had the flyover today to talk it out. And I'm with you all week long on Chris Thomas Tonight on 92.9 The Game. Okay? We got that out of the way, right? Everybody just heard me. Okay. If you think Michael Penix Jr. is the main or sole reason the Atlanta Falcons have lost these past two games, you are out of your ever-loving mind. You've scored 48 points in the last 2 weeks in the NFL and are 0-2. That's on Michael Penix Jr.? I don't care if those 48 points were scored by 5 defensive touchdowns and 3 field goals. 48 points over a 2-game span in the NFL is certainly enough to win at least one. Yet here we are, 0-2 in those games, and 0-4. This team is on a 4-game losing streak. And you're going to tell me that's on Michael Penix Jr.? Again, was he good enough? No. But if you score 25 points against the Indianapolis Colts and 23 points against the Patriots, you damn well better be in those games. And they were. But what happened, y'all? The defense collapses again. I get it. They were on the field for a long, long time. And that's on the offense, too. But it's not solely on Michael Penix Jr. Did Michael Penix Jr. allow Jonathan Taylor to have nearly, get close, everybody, 300 yards from scrimmage? Did Michael Penix Jr. allow Alec Pierce to look like Mike Evans out there? No. Did Michael Penix Jr. allow Tyler Warren to look like George Kittle out there? No. No, he did not. Again, was he good? No. But when you score 25 points, 23 points last week, and the defense at the end of the day, or the kicking game at the end of the day. And you want to know a little secret? You know who I blame for this loss? This is going to be a take that not a lot of people are going to be going, because so many of y'all are too busy talking about Penix. Special teams. Josh is my producer today. Josh, did you know that the Indianapolis Colts started on the Falcons' side of the 50-yard line on offense three separate times?
Yeah, I watched the game.
That's automatic points if you're a competent offense. And the Indianapolis Colts are not only competent, they're the highest scoring offense in the league.
When Jonathan Taylor put up 50, I'm speaking fantasy perspective, 50 points.
Yeah. Okay.
50 points
again,
today.
Right. And that's on Michael Penix Jr. Come on, man. Was he good enough? No, he was not. Too many mistakes, too much inconsistency. He's not evolving. We talk about this all the time on Chris Thomas Tonight, right here on 92.9 The Game. The timeline between Michael Penix Jr.'s growth and where this team needs to be in order to make the playoffs are not matching up right now. And I fully acknowledge that. But I do not put this loss on Michael Penix Jr. My goodness. Talk about seeing, you know, through not a magnifying glass, but like a telescope hole size view of this game. Like, you have to squint to put your eye up against it if you want to blame Michael Penix Jr. Again, he was not good. No, he was not. He did not make enough plays. But again, you score 48 points over 2 weeks in the NFL, and you win neither of those games. And that overtime was a joke, by the way. Where was Zach Robinson's creativity? And another thing. Guys, the best running back for the Falcons today was 2-5. It was not 7. Tyler Allgeier was on one today. 2 touchdowns. Question, why not give him the ball more? Give him the ball even more. More. Bijan Robinson is not a selfish player. I promise you that. He just wants to win. He does not care if he is the leading rusher in the game. Tyler Allgeier had 11 carries to Bijan's 17. But he had 2 touchdowns and was averaging 5.2 yards a carry. You kidding me? Give him the ball. Please, Zach. I mean, my goodness, it's right there in front of your face. He was running people over, and he was running past people. Allgeier was awesome. This might have been the best game he's had as a Falcon. Not statistically, but just from a showing, that dude was unstoppable. Why only 11 carries? The game was close. It wasn't like you needed to throw the ball 100 times to get back in the game. Just absolutely, just unfathomably unimaginable what happened again this week for the Atlanta Falcons. But again, you can blame whoever you want. If I get 6 straight calls of panics, fine. I'm not going to sit here and shout you off the radio.
Can I blame somebody real quick?
You can blame whoever you want.
Number one, Darnell Mooney.
Oh, yeah. He was all 1 for 8. He had 8 targets. He caught 1 ball.
And you got 1 ball,
sir. A couple of them were Penix's fault.
No. I get that. But we talked about this yesterday. This has got to be probably the weakest wide receiver room in the NFL.
I think it is.
There's nobody outside of Drake London that you can rely on. Kyle Pitts, quote-unquote, tight end. Yes, you've got
to utilize him. He had a bad game against him. He had a couple of catches. That was
Darnell Mooney, bro, 1 for 8. Come on, my man.
Kyle Pitts had 2 catches for 38 yards. That was it. That's it. So, again, to Josh's point, that's what I'm saying, y'all. This game is not – we're not going to look back on this game and say, man, remember the Colts game? Remember how bad Penix was? Everybody, come on. Did we watch the same game? Jonathan Taylor was every show on this radio station. Keys to victory. Don't let Jonathan Taylor do what Christian McCaffrey did. 185 all-purpose yards. Oh, okay, yeah. How about we do you one better? He had almost 300 all-purpose yards running and receiving. My goodness. 255 on the ground. And he had, what? How many through the air? He had 42 in the air.
Yeah, 42 through the air.
He was 5 yards shy of a 300-yard game with 3 touchdowns. Get out of here, everybody who just wants to blame Michael Penix Jr. Come on. And you scored 25 points that you should win in the end. When you score 48 points over 2 weeks, you got to win the games. You have to. Coaching, again, awful. Raheem, timeouts, awful. Zach Robinson, I thought, had a nice first half calling plays. What happened? They got exposed in the second half. Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's my take on it. What's yours? Again, everybody's open for blame. You can blame Penix. I'm not going to get mad at you. But if you try to tell me that the reason the Falcons lost this game was because Michael Penix Jr. had a subpar afternoon, you're just wrong. I'm sorry. I just gave you all the stats and all the numbers. KC leads us off. KC, go ahead.
Hey, I've been watching the Falcons for years, all the way back to Steve Barkowski. And I'm going to tell you the reason why we're losing games. We don't have a real center. We don't have a consistent offensive line. Every team that we've lost to, every team that we've played, and the reason that Joker ran over us today, offensive line, center. They got guards. They got tackles. I mean, our guys, they just cave in. We can't even really run the ball. We occasionally can, But for the most part, we can't run the ball like these other teams. Look at the previous games and the teams we played. Their offensive lines go forward. Our offensive line goes backward. Our offensive line, we need a real center. I told people that in the past. 2016, when we went to the Super Bowl, everybody called me crazy, and they bet against me. I said, we get a center, we go straight to the Super Bowl. What happened? We got Alex Mack, went straight to the Super Bowl. We need a real center, not somebody who's pretending to be a center. We need a center with guts that knows how to play and not hiking the ball early. We need a real offensive line. Our offensive line is too inconsistent. It's killing us.
And well, KC, you know what's funny, and thanks for the phone call. Thanks for leading us off on the Falcons flyover. 404-726-0929. KC, here's the problem. You had 140 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. I mean, that should be good enough. But not when Indy goes for 323 yards on the ground. My God. I mean, really, it is 323 yards on the ground? You had 140 and 2 touchdowns. That should be good enough. They doubled you. More than doubled you. Come on, man. Scott's up next. Scott.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Hey, so I'm way past being angry at this point. I mean, as a season ticket holder, what are we supposed to do with this nonsense? I mean, it's like, I love this team, I love this city, but they're really starting to make me question whether or not I need to have season tickets anymore. This is not acceptable. It's just not. And it's way past being angry. It's almost like I'm starting to expect this every week, that we're finding new ways to lose. We're outside of the Jets. I really feel in my heart that we're one of the most dysfunctional franchises in the entire NFL. And that's a serious problem because we're consistently underperforming. We've got too much talent to do this nonsense. You know, y'all have hit the nail on the head. We can light a candle for the Falcons wide receiver room. The coaching, I don't know what Raheem Morris was doing before halftime. Should have called a timeout. He looked like Tweedledee and Zach Robinson looked like Tweedleduh over there. And maybe you can explain to me at the end of regulation when the announcers were saying Falcons could have taken a timeout. I don't know why they didn't do that then either. Mooney was awful. Y'all said it. Turtle, for everyone that's going to blame Penix, the only reason they're doing that is because he's the face of the franchise. Dave Archer said it his best in the postgame. He's become the face of the franchise, so like it or not, he's going to get the blame. But I happen to 1,000% agree with you. If you give up that many rushing yards, you're going to lose just about 99.9% of the time. And the saddest part to me is, I mean, Zach Robinson's doing Zach Robinson things. I mean, we come to expect this crap from him. But, you know, Raheem said it all week. I mean, there's sound bites of him saying it. We've got to stop Jonathan Taylor. We've got to stop him. If you're telling me that's the best you can do in stopping him, I mean, that's coaching. We got out-coached yet again. I mean, there's so many problems with this team, but it's like, it's the same one it's the same issues that keep coming. Talking about changing coaching staffs, someone has to pay for this. At this point, someone needs to go, and it needs to either be Zach Robinson or the special teams coach at this point. They're both awful. So thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Scott, appreciate it as always, man. Again, special teams, I can't say it enough. They allowed the Indianapolis – y'all, you're looking for blame? Three separate times the Colts started with over the 50 field position. Think about that. Three separate times. That means you need to essentially complete three plays of 15 yards total to be guaranteed to try for points to set up for a field goal. I mean, that's unbelievable. Three separate times that returner, Downs, absolutely smoked you and set the offense up past the 50. It can't happen. It's unfathomable that it happens. I've said the word unfathomable so many times, it's starting to lose its meaning. But this team continues to do unfathomable things. It's really unbelievable. All right. Brian, Felix, James, Coach Steve, Rod, y'all are up next. Grab a line. Oh, boy. We have a long afternoon of calls ahead of us, don't we, folks? We got to talk this one through pillar to post. Again, my main takeaway of the day, stop blaming solely Penix. He had a bad day. Absolutely. Not all his fault. Back with you in five.
And the final snap of the game, and the ball game is over.
Talking about today's game here
on the Falcons Flyover.
Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
First and goal for the one, handoff to Algier, into the end zone for a touchdown. Tyler Algier does the work on the ground for the Falcons, and the Falcons even the score at six.
More please, more please. Tyler Algier was the best running back for the Falcons on the field today, and that is saying nothing about Bijan Robinson. Tyler Algier was on another level. He was a man possessed running the rock today. I can't believe he only got 11 carries. I can't believe it. The game was intact all the way through until the last second. You didn't have to abandon the run. You didn't have to. One of my 15, 20 gripes from this game. Chris Thomas Turtle, Falcons flyover. 404-726-0929. You are more than allowed to blame Michael Penix. He was not good. He missed too many wide-open throws. He missed too many throws leading receivers out of bounds. He was not aware in the pocket. He has issues that need to get fixed. But if you're telling me after 31 points, nearly 300 total yards of offense for Jonathan Taylor, 323 yards allowed on the ground, 255 yards allowed on the air, that Michael Penix Jr. needs to shoulder the loss? Come on, man. He wasn't good. But is he the sole guy to blame? Is he the main reason you lost the game? That's why I said that in the video I posted. That's getting a lot of reaction on social media. And a lot of people are telling me I'm wrong and I'm stupid. How can you have watched that game and tell me that the quarterback was the biggest person to blame? Did you not see what happened with Jonathan Taylor, Alec Pierce, Tyler Warren? Those guys ate you alive. The defense had good individual numbers. Seven sacks is awesome. They've now had games with five, six, and seven sacks. And you lose every single time. Guys, this is a systemic issue from top to bottom. Coaching, not good enough. Management, not good enough. Game scenario, once again, awful. You gave up points at the end of the game and at the end of the half because you didn't know how to manage the situation properly. Zach Robinson, I don't know what happened. He was Cinderella in the first half. He turned back into a pumpkin in the second half. No idea what happened. Offense completely fell apart. But I can't sit here in good conscience and put the entire thing on Michael Penix Jr.'s shoulders. That is ignorant to ignore what happened over the course of the rest of the game. It just is. Again, you scored 48 points in your last two games and you're 0-2. Can't happen. 404-726-0929. Let's start with Brian in Woodstock. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, man, I'm just calling out of frustration. I was driving down the road here, leaving North Point Mall, and y'all said your number, and I'm calling, so these points may have been hit. But as I was walking around the mall, I got my Falcons gear on, and we've now become the team where people are just like, sorry, man. They just shake their head because they see I'm a Falcons fan. Out of pity, we're like the Browns when I was growing up. But the points I want to make, I believe it was you hosting a show a few months ago before the season started, and you're talking about Vegas odds. And I called in and I made the point about Raheem Morris, which I really want to succeed because he seems like such a good dude. But the Vegas was picking us to win like 8 or 9 games,
I
believe.
It was 7.5.
7.5, there you go. And I called in and said, I don't think we're going to get there. And I believe it was you that said why. And I just – clock management. It's like over and over and over. So with that being said, leadership. We got Arthur Blank owning this team. When is he going to be held accountable? And obviously it's his team. So, I mean, I don't know how you do that, but he needs to go. And then Raheem, the field guy that's leading this team, I mean, something's got to be done there too. This is just over and over and over. It's getting old saying every Sunday. Or now that we got some big spotlight games Monday or Thursdays, now in Germany, it's getting old saying, dang, I hate being a Falcons fan.
No, listen, I appreciate the phone call, and I'm sorry you had to deal with people giving you sympathy pats on the back in the mall. Brian checking in from Woodstock. Ugh, I am not wearing Falcons gear right now. I would not want to be wearing Falcons gear right now walking in the streets of Midtown Atlanta as I take my walk back home after the flyover's over. Ugh. Yeah, man, that's where this team is at right now. You're 3-6, 0-4 in your last four games, and consistently and abundantly finding new and epically painful ways to lose football games. I mean, today, again, you preach it all week long. Don't let 28 beat you. Not only did he beat you, not only did he beat you better than CMC beat you, this is going to go down as one of the most all-time whoopings by a single player. 32 carries, 244 yards, with an 83-yard run tucked in there, 3 touchdowns, 7.6 yards per carry, and oh yeah, why don't we tack on 42 receiving yards on top of it? I mean, speechless. Josh, I can't do that in Madden. I cannot do that in Madden.
I mean, what Jonathan Taylor has been doing this season is astonishing.
He hasn't done this. This is
no, I mean, but
this is, I mean,
he eats 3 touchdowns a game. I mean, that's what this man does.
When they show his,
he's got 15 touchdowns already.
Yeah, when they show his Hall of Fame reel in Canton one day, this game is going to be like the focal point of it. Again, I couldn't, if you put me on easy mode in Madden, I would struggle to total 300 scrimmage yards, 3 touchdowns, an 83-yard run, and 7.6 yards a carry
game. This is literally like, you know what the Colts, what their strength is. It's the run game. And for this newly, I guess, you know, revitalized Falcons defense, what does this speak about you that you guys came out here? And yes, we talked about the kind of the adversity of traveling overseas and playing in these games, you know, overseas and in Germany. But I mean, come on, man. He just ran
Last time this was supposed to happen, you failed just as epically bad. CMC had 185 scrimmage yards in the game against the 49ers when they were more banged up than any other team in the NFL, by the way. It's so embarrassing. It really is. Felix is in Marietta. Felix, go ahead.
Hey, first-time caller, long-time listener. We are so frustrated as Falcons fans. It's almost to the point where, you know, it's a broken record where you don't expect to lose, but you don't know how we're going to win. And I guess my question to you is, What was the situation at the end of regulation why we didn't take a timeout to save time? And also, I have to give a hats off, even though they had an amazing rushing day, but the defense did the best they could with what they could. So if you could answer that question for me, I appreciate it.
No, thank you for the phone call, Felix. The one at the end of the game is beyond words to me. I mean, the one at the half, I could sort of understand that you were trying not to let them operate the clock at all. So you weren't trying to stop the game and give them a chance to huddle and come up with something and potentially get them in better position to get points. I guess I could justify Raheem Morris's thinking there. But at the end of the game, I mean, Felix, I can't cape up for Raheem, man. There is no explanation. The explanation is poor coaching. And that's the saddest part about it. The explanation, Felix, is poor coaching. And we've seen this time and time and time again where the Falcons bungle key points of games because of either down and distance or clock mismanagement or knowing how many timeouts you have versus your opponent. The end of the game should not have allowed them to go down and tie the game. The end of the game should not have allowed you to be put in a position where you couldn't try and go for it. To have the crazy explanation of the 10-second runoff with 1 second left on the clock, but you're choosing to take the 10-second runoff instead of trying to go for a play. Isn't that just a perfect representation of the Falcons right now? Like, think about that sequence. You miss the throw, then you have enough time for probably two plays if you hustle, because you have a timeout left. You bungle the play, you take the 10-second runoff, and you choose to go to the half. The problem is, even with the 10-second runoff, there was more time on the clock.
Yeah.
And that it was a second, but still.
It was a second, yeah, but a second is a lifetime, man. That's all you need.
And before that, it was like 18 seconds, which, again, you can get two plays off.
I mean, but I think they were saying, like, once the official set the ball, the clock would start running, so they wouldn't have had time anyways. But still, I mean, it just is an indication of the usual mismanagement of the clock, it seems like, that this organization tends to go through every single week.
It's a perfect encapsulation between what happened at the end of the half and what happened at the end of the game. I mean, again, the end of the half, I guess he was just trying to do let me play it as absolutely safe as I can, as opposed to giving them 1 inch, or because of how close the game was, 1 inch or one iota of a chance to hit a big play and get more yards. That's, Felix, that is the best I can come up with. James is in Decatur. James.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Start from the beginning. We're going to eliminate Phoenix. Because you remember when Brett Favre here, he threw 3 interceptions in his first game, and he was out of here. So he's a rookie. I don't blame him. But what I do, you had a show on Friday, and I called in, and I said, they need to let Algier run that ball. They did what I asked them to do, but they didn't do enough of it. How in the world can we have 2 players that can run the same amount of yards as 1 player on the other team, and that 1 player burn us out? One caller called in early, and he said the offensive line. And I'm thinking that's part of it, too. But we're back to the number one thing again, coaching. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's coaching. Because, again, it's all about where Penix is versus where this team is. Penix is 11 starts into his NFL career. He's not playing well enough right now to match the desperation and the urgency of a team that needs to eliminate a 7-year playoff drought. And that's the brutal, honest reality. I've said it before, and I'm saying it again. Michael Penix Jr.'s development is not where it needs to be. Now, how much is that on his own shoulders? I don't know. I don't know how much. From everything we hear, he puts in the work, man. He's not just sitting there relying on his God-given talent and saying, you know, blanket, I'm not going to study, I'm not going to get involved in practice. He works. So I don't think it's Michael Penix Jr. being arrogant.
Is he not just operating like a first-year starter, though?
Yeah, he is. But the problem is, Josh, it's hard to keep that in perspective. And I'm glad you said that out loud, because it's hard to borderline impossible, and especially in games like today and last week that are so close and you're competing so hard against good teams, to keep that in perspective. Because of the expect, and it would be easier if you were the Browns, or if you were the Jaguars, or if you were the Titans with Cam Ward. This team is not that team. This team went into this season saying, we have one goal, Josh, to end the playoff drought. And when you put that next to, juxtapose it to where Michael Penix Jr. is performing, like you said, a guy making his 11th start in the NFL. Again, we name the names all the time. Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, Troy Aikman, even Tom Brady. They were not great as rookies. Very rarely does somebody do what Jaden Daniels did last year. And to hold him to that standard is certainly not fair. But you need him. But the irony is, you need him to be that good or close to it because of how desperate this team is to make the playoffs. And right now it's not matching up. So again, was Penix good today? No. Was Penix serviceable today? No, he was not. But is he the main or sole reason you lost this game? Absolutely not. Coach Steve, Rod, Keaton, man, Danny, y'all are up next. Grab a line. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas Turtle with you on the Falcons Flyover.
Let's go!
Taking a look back at today's game with Falcons Flyover. Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Second and six from a 16, 3:30 to go here in the first half. Penix dropping back, lofting one to London in the end zone. Touchdown, Falcons! London with a TD in Berlin.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he had 100 yards receiving today. Penix was able to find him again, 4 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. There was a lot of good today. 7 sacks. I mean, when was the last time the Falcons had 7 sacks in a game? My goodness. Couple of forced turnovers. The defense played well until they didn't. There was a lot to like. Looked like Zane Gonzalez is steady. But at the end of the day, what do we keep saying? Week after week after week now. Good teams find ways to win. Bad teams find ways to lose. And that's unfortunately exactly what's happened to the Falcons over these last 4 games. They keep finding new and inventive ways to lose. And now here we are, 3-6. Again, I said it in the video that's getting a lot of traction online right now, because I can't blame the quarterback. But what I can say is, no matter who you blame, it's going to be tough. This is going to be tough. If they're going to get out of this and get back in contention, they are now going to have to rip. Their margin for error is essentially like 1 game. They essentially have to run the table for the rest of the season to get into the playoffs. Do you think the Falcons can get into the playoffs with 9 wins? Don't think so.
Not in the NFC.
I don't think so.
The way the West is looking, the way the North is looking.
We did it yesterday, Josh, on Chris Thomas Tonight, contender or pretender. There are between Josh and I did this exercise yesterday, if you missed it, right here on 92.9 The Game. I called it contender or pretender. I took the biggest, what I thought was variable team in each division, and we decided if they were a true contender or pretender. And what we found was, right now, halfway through the season, between the NFC North and the NFC West, there are 6 contenders. 6. I only chose 1 from each division. But when you look at the divisions as a whole, the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings, the Seahawks, the Rams, and the 49ers are all contenders. And they're all better than you. And you've lost to a couple of them already. They're all better teams than you. And guess who you have to play still this season? The Rams and the Seahawks. Sam Darnold, MVP candidate. Stafford, MVP candidate. Michael Penix Jr., I will go and say this, certainly not an MVP candidate right now. I'll give you guys that. Let's start with Rod in San Francisco. Rod.
Hey, how's it going, Turtle?
What's up, man?
Man, nothing much. I was just listening to the callers, and everybody's pretty much harped on what the problem of this team is, which is leadership. We do not have any leadership. Consistency is another thing that has really hampered this franchise over the years. We have not had anything consistent other than with Mike Smith when he was here. Another thing, too, was a thing that you harped on today about Michael Penix. Was he good today? No. But everyone has to remember that this is his first full year in a offense that he's still learning. And the offensive coordinator is not good, by the way. And they have to give him time to develop. Let him get his feet underneath him. Let him take this season as a learning season. Let him take this as a learning season and then go into the off season and learn from the mistakes that he's made. It's just like when you go on to a job your first day, you want it to be perfect, but it never goes the way that you plan. So just give him a little time, let him get his feet underneath him, and I think he's definitely on the trajectory of going upwards as long as we get a good coordinator and a good coach up in here.
Yeah, that's appreciate all I have to say. It. Yeah, thanks for checking in all the way from San Fran. I'd rather be in San Francisco right now. I'd rather be worrying about the 49ers than the Falcons right now, that's for sure. My goodness, this was an awful game. Man. Sorry, I am right there with everybody. I have to do my best to keep somewhat of a level head and somewhat of a perspective because it's so easy to just let it spiral. It really is. And to just try to keep perspective. Dave Archer's so good at this. And as a broadcaster, he's so good at this. And I'm so jealous of him for it. He's so good. I think it's probably a lot to do with the fact that he was a quarterback at the highest level. Like, his ability to just stay focused in the moment and dissect what's going on and not let, you know, the emotion and the fan nature take over and really just continue to stay locked in and diagnose what's going on. He's the best in the business at that. And I am so envious of that because I'm so not like that.
You've got to be.
I'm just so emotional.
The highest
I'm
level.
So emotional.
The highest level of optimism at this point, because and to allude to what the previous caller just said, Rod in San Francisco, talking about let him get obviously it's his first year as a starter, yada yada, but he might have a new offensive coordinator next season.
Well, I was just about to where I was just going with this. It's so funny you say that, Josh. Because I was going to say, yeah.
Like, where's that consistency?
Because Rod was talking about the tutelage of Penix if the season gets lost. Yeah, he's not going to have the tutelage because everybody's going to be gone. Guys, if the Falcons finish with 6 or 7 wins, there is no planet in which you can bring back Raheem or Terry or Zach. Ulbrich, I think you can because I think we're seeing enough signs.
Yeah, with the sack count the way it's been, especially today.
By the way, Dom, our buddy Dom Chorofsky chiming in, he must have been listening and did some research for me. Our crack
staff here.
Oh,
he got his haircut. Dom got his haircut. You got your haircut, Dom?
First time the Falcons have had at least 7 sacks in a single game since 12-16-2018 against the Cardinals. There you go.
Did they win that game?
That I don't know. I would assume so. You know what? If I do a quick Google search here, Falcons Cardinals 2018. 40-14.
Okay,
that?
There you go.
Yeah, that's what
there
it should have looked. With 7 sacks today, that's what it should have looked like. All right? Man, thanks, Dom, for the assist there. Again, our crack research staff here at 92.9 The Game. Keaton's in Douglasville. Keaton.
Yo. I want to touch on a few things. So Mike mentioned something in the post game that I noticed during the last several games. When we're on third down, man, like, it's the most predictable thing ever. There's three verts. There's a bench or an out route of some kind, and then there's a dump-off pass that's behind the line of scrimmage. Over the past three games, I tweeted this at you earlier, we're 3-for-29 on third down conversions. A few weeks ago, you asked the question if we have faith in Michael Penix, and I still do, man. I think that he has the ability to be a really good quarterback in the league, at the very least above average, but it's a simple math equation. Rookie quarterback plus first-time offensive coordinator equals disaster. And that's just where we're at right now, man. Until we get a somebody who's experienced calling the plays that can help build Penix up and develop his talent, we're going to stay in the same bus. I appreciate you taking the call, boss.
Thanks, Keaton. I don't know if you heard. We'll play it before I get out of here. It's super. It's like 30 seconds long. To Keaton's point, I think it's worth playing. We'll play it before I get out of here. Michael Penix Jr. in the post-game interview with Arch, that was a tough listen. You could hear it. He was wearing it in his voice. You could hear it. And that's a critical point to Keaton's what Keaton was just saying, very well articulated. Michael Penix Jr. is at a crossroads right now. Regardless of how much blame or not blame you want to put on him, he's at a crossroads right now. He needs Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris to put a big old shoulder and a big old mask over him, one of those big quarterback jackets that they wear on the sidelines when it's cold, and just take him into the lab and sit down with him and try to fix this. That's what they need to do. One of those big, you know the ones I'm talking about, those big old quarterback jackets that they wear on the sidelines when the games get cold. He needs one of those on his shoulders with their hands on it, put his chin up, get him in the lab, and fix this thing. Because right now, again, the footwork, the arm slots, the arm angles, all of it right now is out of whack. That's why sometimes he can make great throws, but other times you're like, whoa, where is that thing going? And I think a lot of it has to do with where his confidence is at right now. Man is in Atlanta. Man, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle.
What up?
How's it going? Hey, man, I don't think no one has actually looked at it from Atlanta really has a personnel problem. I'm like, look at the 3 years that Arthur Smith was here. We still have the mostly same personnel that he had, and what was his records while he was here?
He won seven games every year.
Yep. So we still had that same personnel, and to think that we would get anything different is kind of like crazy. We have some people that we can call superstars or people that we can highlight in position. But as far as overall team, we don't have it yet. We were doing great until the actual middle linebacker went out, and then we have been on a losing streak. That lets you know we don't have the backup behind the starters to keep the actual train rolling. That's just my take.
No, man.
What you think about that, Turtle?
It's crazy. I think you're right. It's crazy, man, because Divine Diablo, if he was the Jenga piece that was holding the defense together, which it looks like it was, that's crazy. Because, again, they've had good individual performances. The sack totals were great today. But you gave up almost 600 yards of offense. Like, that's not the same thing, and I appreciate the phone call. I mean, listen, that's not, you know, one of these things is not like the other, as the cliche goes. I mean, seriously, Indy fumbles the ball. Indy turns it over. You can't do anything with it. It's not good. It's not good. 404-726-0929. I see we got Danny, Al, Eddie, John, yo. You guys are all up when we get back. It's the Falcons flyover. I'm not putting it all on Penix, y'all. Some of y'all are, and I hear you, but I can't do it. There was too much else that went wrong in this game.